Today we continue our discussion on the coming of Jesus to earth. We're going to be in the first part of Luke this morning, so if you have your Bible, please turn there. Luke chapter 2. And we're going to be looking at the pregnancy of Mary and the birth of Jesus. I know Christmas was 2 months ago, right? But this is where we are in the story of Jesus' life. And believe it or not, there is a bit of Christmas vibe in our message today, and you'll see that here in a minute. So let's begin by reading Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 7 as our scripture reading this morning. Please stand with me in honor of the reading of God's word. As we read it together, the words will be on the screen for you. Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor in Syria. And everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. And she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your love and for your kindness. We thank you for the technology that we live in, and Lord, the blessings that it is and the frustrations that sometimes it is. We love you and we thank you for it. We pray, Lord, this morning that as we open your word, that you would help us to hear from your spirit, that we would help us to hear from you so that we might be changed and might become more like your son, Jesus. I pray, Lord, that in all the things that we say and all the things that we do, you would be honored and glorified in everything. I pray that the words of my mouth would not be my own, but that you would use them in the power of the Holy Spirit to accomplish what needs to happen in each of our lives this morning. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I don't know how many of you have ever seen the Christmas movie called A Christmas Story. It's kind of a staple, one of those staple Christmas films. Not really a favorite of mine, but in that film, there is a scene in which the narrator is telling you about a time when two of his friends got into a bit of an argument around what would happen if you stuck your tongue to a frozen flagpole. Let's see how that turned out.
You're full of beans because you're old man.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's who?
That's me.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I double dare you.
The exact exchange and nuance of phrase in this ritual is very important.
Huh, are you kidding? Stick my tongue to that stupid pole, that's dumb.
That's cause you know it'll stick.
You're full of it.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah!
Well, I double dog dare ya!
Now it was serious. A double dog dare. What else was left but a triple dare you? And finally, the coup de grace of all dares, the sinister triple dog dare.
I triple dog dare you!
Schwartz created a slight breach of etiquette by skipping the triple dare and going right for the throat.
All right, all right. Come on,
kid. I'm going.
Flick's spine stiffened, his lips curled in a defiant sneer. There was no going back now.
This is nuts.
Yeah. trick.
The dreaded triple dog dare. It's interesting to note here that when we're dared to do something, there is little or no other course of action but to do it. God had called Mary to a triple dog dare of sorts when he chose her to be the mother of his son Jesus. Now Mary took the challenge, but as we'll see, others in her life were not as sure as she was. While the challenge was severe, God never left her on her own. I want to begin by looking at some situations here. Let's go to the first slide. Situations, first of all, with the betrothed. All right? Joseph. We see this in Matthew chapter 1. In Matthew chapter 1 and verse 18, it says, "This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother, Mary, was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. And because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly." So here's the situation that Mary is facing with her betrothed. She is facing a very serious situation. Because here's the deal. Mary is pregnant and she is not married yet. She's betrothed. It's a little bit deeper than an engagement, right? Because vows have already been, or promises have already been made. Joseph says, "I will marry Mary." And Mary said, "I will marry Joseph." And because of that, there was a bride price exchanged, and there was a deep, deep commitment between Mary and Joseph and between the two families. So when Joseph finds out that Mary is pregnant, he knows beyond the shadow of a doubt that it's not his child, because he and Mary haven't been together that way. And so it says that Joseph was a righteous man. He loved Mary, but at this point, he has three options. The first option is to expose her sin and drag her out into the middle of the city and have her stoned to death for adultery. He's perfectly in his rights by Jewish law to do that. Another thing that he could do would be to expose the sin and divorce her, put her away, and just say, "You know what, Mary? You hurt me by doing this, and I don't want anything to do with you. You're going to be shunned by me and by my family and probably by the whole community as well." His third option, in his mind, was a quiet divorce. He would get the bride price back from Mary and Joseph's parents, and his parents would then look for another bride for him. So this is the situation that Mary finds herself in. But look how God doesn't leave her abandoned. Verse 20, Matthew chapter 1. "But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins.'" So God intervenes to take care of Mary by telling Joseph in a dream, "What Mary is telling you is true." As crazy as it sounds, it's true. Look at what it says Joseph did next. We're going to skip down to verse 24. "When Joseph woke up," when Joseph woke up from his dream where God told him, "Go get your wife," he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. Joseph didn't realize he had a fourth option. That fourth option being to take Mary at her word, to bring her into his house, and for them to start their life together. God tells Joseph, "Go get your bride." He goes and gets his bride. And he takes Mary home as his wife. There was also a situation with the government. Back to Luke chapter 2. So we see here at the beginning of Luke chapter 2, our scripture reading this morning, that Caesar Augustus issues this decree that a census is taken of the entire Roman world. Now understand this. We're not just talking about Israel. We're not just talking about Joseph being inconvenienced that he had to travel to Bethlehem to register. This is a census of the entire Roman world, which was vast at this point in time. The Romans had conquered the Greeks. The Romans had conquered most of the Middle East. The Romans had conquered most of Asia Minor. They had control of almost all of Europe, everything. And this Caesar decides, I want to know how many people are hanging out in my nation, in my empire. I want to find out how many people there are, because that's just the kind of guy I am. So he decides to make the census. Now, listen, Mary and Joseph now have to travel. Well, Joseph is the only one who is required to travel to Bethlehem. But Joseph, again, being a righteous man, he's not going to leave Mary in that situation. She's near birth. So Mary and Joseph have to travel 90 miles. Now, most of the videos and the shows that we see have Mary riding a donkey. Could have. Chances are she walked most of the way. Chances are that Mary and Joseph walked 90 miles would have taken them probably close to 4 full days of walking. And because of their situation, they probably weren't within a family group that was going to Bethlehem, because they would have been shunned by their families because they believed that Mary had done something wrong. None of them probably believed what they were telling Mary and Joseph. And they come to Bethlehem, and Mary is very pregnant and things aren't looking good. But again, God provides a place for them to be. It says that Joseph went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, to the town of David, because that's who he belonged to. And then it talks about how God provided a place for them to have the baby and so forth. So there was a situation with the betrothed, there was a situation with the government, but there's also a situation with the environment. They show up to Bethlehem and there is no place for them to stay. There's not a guest room to be found in all of Bethlehem. Finally, someone gives them a cave or a stable, whatever it was. We know that wherever they were, there were animals there because there was a manger. And a manger is a feeding trough. So we know this probably isn't a hospital. Might have been my house. Just kidding. We don't feed our kids that way. But with as many kids as there are, a feeding trough might actually be... Anyway... But these are the situations that God has put Mary and Joseph in. But every time, God comes through. So there are situations that they're dealing with. And then there is information. The information is, first of all, we see information coming from an angel. Look at what it says here. Verse 8. There were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. And an angel of the Lord, one, appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Don't be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah. He is the Lord. and this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. So this angel comes and says, look, I've got good news for you, shepherds. And this good news is going to bring great joy to everyone. This message is not just for you, shepherds. It is for everyone. And what's the message? A Savior has been born to you. And this Savior is your Messiah, the one you have been waiting for. He is the Messiah. He is the Lord. The Lord is the title of God that is rendered in the Hebrew, Yahweh. Think about that for a second. This baby that has been born to you, this Savior, he is Messiah Yahweh. Yeshua Yahweh. This is the message, the information that the angel gives them. But then, what happens next? Verse 13, suddenly a great company of the heavenly hosts appear with the angel praising God. So there is information not just from the angel, but also from the angels. There was one angel and they were terrified. Now there's a whole slew of angels in the sky. I won't say it. But if it were me, it would probably be pants changing time. And the angels say, God deserves glory and men have peace. Men whom God is favored with. It says, glory to God in the highest heaven and on earth peace to those on whom His favor rests. And they sing this beautiful song and they're off. I forgot to mention one thing. The angel also gives the shepherds the proof. Here's what you're going to find. Shepherds, if you want proof that what I am telling you is true, you find this Messiah Yahweh wrapped up in cloths and lying in a feeding trough, a manger. So the angel gives them the proof that they'll find it. The angels bring glory to God and then they go. Look at what it says. They hurried off, verse 16, so they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. And when they had seen him, listen to this, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. So, information from the angel, information from the angels, and then information from the shepherds to the rest of Bethlehem. They said, look, this is what we were told by the angel. This is what we were told about Messiah. This is what we were told from the angels. And this is for everyone. It's good news for everybody. And they wanted everyone to know about it. And look at what it says. It says, all who heard the information that the shepherds were giving them were amazed at what they were told. So we have information from the angel, we have information from the angels, we have information from the shepherds. And we also have proclamation in this passage. Again, the angels bring proclamation, glory to God in the highest, praise goes to God alone, right? The angels praise God and they say, look, this is praise that belongs to God in highest heaven and it is His alone. And praise goes to God alone. Why? Because now Jesus is here, Messiah is here, and God is now able, He is going to be able to put His favor on people so that they might have peace. Says, on earth peace to those on whom His favor rests. There's proclamation from the angels. There's also proclamation from the shepherds. We'll talk about it again, right? That the shepherds say, this is what the Lord has told us. This is what we have seen. This is what we have heard. And this is what we proclaim to you. This is very similar to what John is saying in 1 John when he says to the people, look, I'm passing this on to you and I'm telling you, this is what I'm proclaiming to you. Well, all that I have seen, all that I have heard, John is saying, this is who we know is Christ Messiah. We see in this passage, through the birth of Christ, a proclamation of good news from angels, proclamation of good news from shepherds. Friends, will there be proclamation from us? Turn to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, if you have your Bible, turn there. If it's on your phone, flip there. Romans chapter 10, starting in verse 13, listen to what Paul says to the Christians at the church in Rome. He says, "For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring the good news." Brothers and sisters, I ask you today, will you take this good news to the world? Will you take this good news across the street? Will you take this good news to your family? Will you take this good news to work with you? Will you take this good news to school? So here's my challenge for you this morning. What will you do to proclaim the message of the good news of the coming of Jesus? Jesus comes to this earth in order to bring peace and righteousness to the world. He comes to proclaim freedom for the captive. He comes to proclaim sight for the blind. He comes to proclaim healing for the sick. He comes to provide forgiveness for the sinner and right relationship with God for those who were once His enemies. This is the message of the gospel. This is the message of the life of Jesus Christ. So what will you do about it? Will you do what the shepherds did when they boldly proclaimed all that they had seen and heard? Let's make it practical. Let's just say that for the next 7 days, you take the opportunities that you have to talk to someone, anyone, about Jesus. Let's just take this week to open our eyes to the possibilities of sharing with our neighbors, our friends, our family, our coworkers, our fellow students, or even those we just passed by on the street or in the grocery store. We talked in our elders' meeting this past week about how we can get more bits. Can I share what that is? And BITS, B-I-T-S, it stands for butts in the seats. And we talked about how we can do that. And we talked about doing acts of service as a church in our community. And I think there is a lot of truth to that kind of event and that way of thinking, and we need to do that. However, I also believe that there is something much more effective than that, and that is each one of us making the decision to share the gospel with the people that we come into contact with every single day. And then invite them to church if that seems appropriate to do so. But we'll never see more people here, new people here, if we aren't willing to open our mouths, open our lives, open our homes, and open ourselves to them. So what will it be? If there's one thing that the birth of Jesus tells us, it's that the good news of the gospel is for everyone. From the mightiest king to the lowliest shepherd, which means it's for you and it's for me. And guess what? It means it's also for your family, for your friends, for your coworkers, for your fellow students, for your neighbors, and even for those you pass by on the street and in the grocery store. So church, I'm challenging you to leave this building and to get out there and share the gospel with just one person this week. 7 days. Well, not quite a full 7 days because, well, you know. But you for at least 6 days, six full days, share the gospel with one person this week. And hopefully we'll start to see even more new people joining us. We've seen new people coming, and that's great. Don't get me wrong, I'm not upset with who we have had coming. It's great. But statistically speaking, folks, only one out of every three people in this community are in church this morning. One of three. That is way too low a percentage, if you ask me. So why not invite him here? Guess what? I triple dog dare you. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for your love and for your goodness. Thank you for Jesus and for all that he has done for us. Thank you for sending him to this earth. Thank you for the story of Christmas and Lord, for the situation that you placed Mary and Joseph in, for the information that you gave to them, the information that you gave to the shepherds, through the angels, and the information that you gave to everyone in Bethlehem through the shepherds. Lord, may we take the opportunity this week to be bold and to share the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ with the people who are around us. Lord, no matter how, no matter when, just as you open the door, help us to walk through it. Help us to speak the truth. Lord, there are so many people in this world who are lost and going to hell if they die without Christ. And Lord, we hold the truth. We hold the information that they need to come to faith. And so, Lord, help us in the course of this week to be faithful in sharing that good news with others so that they might know you and they might come to faith in you. I pray all of this, Lord, in the blessed name of Jesus Christ. And for his sake, amen.